Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Royal London Half Year Results 2021, hosted today with Daniel Kazo. My name is Deborah, and I'm your event manager. During the presentation, your lines remain on listen only. If you do require assistance at any time, please key star zero on your phone, and a coordinator will be happy to assist you. I would like to advise all parties the conference is being recorded for replay purposes. Now I will hand on to Daniel. Thank you, Daniel. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Deborah. Good morning, everyone. My name is Daniel Kazo, and I'm the Group Chief Financial Officer for Royal London. I'm joined this morning by Leslie Mitchell, Group Financial Controller, Ann Lee, Group Chief Actuary, and Rob Ferguson, our Group Treasurer. This morning, we issued our 2021 interim results announcement in a press release and stock exchange announcement. I'm going to refer to the presentation distributed via email earlier today to those of you who pre-registered. This presentation and a copy of our interim results announcement are also available on our website. The presentation will take you through an overview of our financial performance and the continued strength of our balance sheet and capital position before opening up for questions. Starting on slide three. Overall, group trading performance has improved, with operating profit before tax increasing in the first half of the year. 2021 has seen strong protection new business sales in both the U.K. and Ireland, but we've also observed continued impact from the pandemic on our pensions business. While sales volumes have improved since the second half of 2020, individual pensions volumes remain below pre-pandemic levels. Our capital position has remained robust, with increases to our solvency surplus and capital cover ratios in the first half of the year. Maintaining a robust capital position is key to our ongoing investment in the business and enhancing customer service, which all enables us to generate long-term growth for our customers and members. Assets under management exceeded 150 billion pounds for the first time due to positive market movements and net inflows. We have completed two transactions this year. In April, we acquired WealthWizards, which will help us use technology to scale provision of impartial advice and offer high-quality solutions to our customers. We also enhanced our support for customers funding their later life through the acquisition of a 30% stake in the Responsible Group, which completed at the start of July. As we referenced in our 2020 annual report, this year we've also changed the way we manage our U.K. business and have reorganized it by customer life stage. The group is now structured into three business units, the U.K., Ireland, and Asset Management. This has resulted in some changes to the operating segments we report, but there have been no changes to the core products that we offer to our customers. We provide further information in our results announcement on the changes, including the restatement of comparative periods to reclassify segments on this basis. Total group operating profit for both the 6 months ended 30th of June 2020 and 12 months ended 31 December 2020 are unchanged. Slide 4 sets out the key financial highlights of the first 6 months. Our operating profit before tax increased to £80 million for the period, more than doubling from the same period in 2020. Of course, the prior year results were impacted by the COVID pandemic, but nonetheless, this represents a significant improvement. A full breakdown of the components of operating profit is set out in the detailed announcement and in the appendix. Key drivers of the improvement in operating profit are from the profits of our UK insurance business and an improved contribution from our asset management businesses. The UK insurance business benefited from a number of positive experience variances. In particular, we continue to see positive workplace pensions persistency as fewer people changed employers and transferred policies during the lockdown period. The first half of 2020 also included an allowance of £10 million for higher mortality claims expected to arise from COVID-19. Our claims experience in 2021 has largely come through as expected against this provision. We continue to hold a specific allowance in our assumptions for the expected adverse impact on our pensions business of potential higher unemployment caused by the end of the government's furlough scheme in the second half of this year. Statutory profit before tax for the period has increased to £228 million, reflecting increased operating profit as well as higher returns on UK investments and yield increases during the first half. 2021 performance continues to be impacted by the effects of the pandemic, and our life and pensions new business sales reduced by 2.5% to £4.6 billion. This is primarily due to lower individual pension sales. Volumes have recovered compared with the second half of last year, but remain below pre-pandemic levels. Sales of our protection products in the UK increased 16% to £676 million, and in Ireland sales increased 40% to £88 million. The strong protection performance reflects our continued focus on customer service and proposition enhancements. I'll give you a bit more detail on this in a moment. Assets under management grew to a record of £153 billion, driven by positive market movements and net inflows. As a result, operating profits from our asset management businesses increased by £5 million compared to the first half of last year. Gross inflows reduced to £12 billion, and net inflows were just over £400 million, reflecting outflows in our individual pension business. The demand rate for our sustainable funds remains high. Our capital position is robust. The group's investor view, which represents the capital position of the Royal London Main Fund, had a cover ratio of 204% at the 30th of June. The regulatory capital ratio also increased to 159%. I'll take you through more detail on our capital position and the movements over the period later in the presentation. So turning in a bit more detail to new business on slide 5. Life and pensions new business sales on a present value of new business premiums basis decreased 2.5% to £4.6 billion, driven primarily by a reduction in individual pension sales. New business sales volumes in individual pensions improved from levels in the second half of 2020, but have remained below pre-pandemic levels, and decreased 11% to £2.4 billion. Following the impact on our multi-asset funds of the sharp correction in equity markets in 2020, in the first half of this year we have repositioned asset allocations to re-rate equity exposures from UK assets towards overseas and emerging markets. The funds have been outperforming their benchmarks so far this year. Workplace pensions new business sales increased 2% to £1.5 billion, driven by a number of new scheme mandate wins and increasing levels of new entrants into existing schemes as recruitment started to recover, particularly in the case in the second quarter. Despite the increase in workplace pension sales, a decrease in the rate used to discount future new business cash flows led to a reduction in the new business margin. Sales of UK protection products increased to £676 million, and margins improved to 3.1%, with the growth driven by enhancements to our proposition and continued focus on providing high-quality customer service throughout the pandemic. Following the easing of lockdown restrictions, we have observed renewed growth in the specialist market of business protection and income protection, as well as strong demand for funeral plans and activities cover. Our protection business in Ireland also performed well, with strong demand for term insurance and mortgage protection products. Despite the new business sales increase, new business margins reduced to 6.8% due to a decrease in the rate used to discount business and a slight change in business mix. Overall, lower pension sales volumes resulted in a reduction in the life and pensions new business margin from 2% to 1.8% when comparing the first half of 2020 and 2021. However, the first half of 2020 included a quarter pre the impact of COVID. Further detail on the levels of new business compared to the first and second half of 2020 is included in Appendix 3 to this presentation. You can see the new business margin in 2021 has improved on the full year 2020 margin of 1.7%. Slide 6 provides details on assets under management and net flows. Assets under management grew to £153 billion, a record high for the group, driven by positive market movements and net inflows. Gross inflows reduced to £12 billion from £14 billion in the first half of 2020, and net internal flows reduced to £406 million due to higher outflows in our individual pensions business. We continue to experience high demand for our sustainable funds. The flows in the first half of the year reflect a large institutional outflow in May, which was replaced by a larger reinvestment of over £2 billion in early July. Our investment performance remains strong, with 97% of actively managed funds outperforming their benchmark over 3 years. Turning to page 7, in June we announced our climate commitments. At the year end, we updated on the steps we've been taking to embed ESG considerations into our investment portfolio. In June, in our climate commitments, we have confirmed that we intend to reduce carbon equivalent emissions from our investments by 50% by 2030, achieve net zero across our investment portfolio by 2050. As we have already seen through the sales in our sustainable range, we recognise that customers are increasingly looking for options to invest in climate-friendly assets. We have therefore committed to developing and providing solutions to enable customers to invest in the low-carbon transition. We are also well positioned to positively influence other organisations and are committed to engage with the largest carbon emitters on the need for a just transition plan. Just transition represents an effort to move to a low carbon economy in a way that is sustainable and considers the social impact on those affected, such as making energy bills unaffordable or creating a skills gap for those who are employed in the traditional fuel sector. We are taking immediate steps to reduce the carbon intensity of our government range with profits funds, and in the second half of the year we'll be making an announcement in this regard. Slide 8 illustrates the high credit quality of our investment portfolio. Our total balance sheet investment portfolio has increased to £110.3 billion, primarily as a result of positive exit performance in the first half of the year. As you can see from the charts, we have maintained a significant portion of our investments in highly rated assets. In our non-linked portfolio, 90% of our debt securities and 81% of corporate bonds had a credit rating of A or above on the 30th of June. There have been no significant defaults in our corporate bond portfolio during the year. The next section provides an overview of the group's capital position, starting on slide 9. Our capital base is essential to our business. The group capital has remained robust throughout the first half of the year, with our solvency surplus increasing to £2.6 billion. The group's investment use capital cover ratio has increased from 190% to 204% over 2021, primarily through additional equity hedges entered into in April, which will help to maintain our capital stability going forward. The regulatory use capital cover ratio has also increased from 147% at the end of 2020 to 159% at the 30th of June 2021. This is primarily driven by the increase in yields over the period, as well as the additional equity hedging just mentioned. Slide 10 provides a movement analysis of the group investor view capital position. The group solvency surplus increased from £2.3 billion to £2.6 billion in the first half of the year. We continue strategic investment with £42 million invested in the first half of the year in areas we consider are important for future competitiveness and we expect to deliver good returns. This includes investment in digital transformation in our pensions business, simplifying our legacy systems, and the development of our annuity proposition. Interest payments on our subordinated debt are made in the second half of the year, so there is no impact on capital in the first half. The surplus generated from economic movements of £244 million was driven by high returns in equities and increases in yields over the period. You'll see we've separated management actions. Here you can see this led to a surplus, increase in surplus of £157 million, and it's a key driver for the increase in the investor cover ratio. As I referenced, this primarily relates to the additional equity hedging taken out. In the second half of the year, subject to policyholder and court approvals, we expect to conclude the transfer of three of our closed funds into the main fund as part of the legacy simplification program, with one fund having already transferred in the first half of the year. We also expect to migrate a further 150,000 policies in the second half of the year onto new technology, improving the efficiency and quality of customer service experience. Over 3 million policies have been migrated since the start of 2020. In February, we introduced a new Royal London annuity product, which allows us to offer existing customers an option to take their annuity with Royal London. We expect this area of business to build over the next few years as more and more pensions customers approach retirement and choose to invest their pension with us. We are also seeking approval from the PRA to use a matching adjustment across our annuity portfolio, and we expect to recognise the benefits from these initiatives in the second half of the year. The same key movements have also impacted the group's regulatory view capital position, shown on slide 11. Our capital position is sensitive to a range of market insurance stresses, and the sensitivity analysis for a range of scenarios with further information on the composition of our investment portfolio are set out in the appendix. The results of the sensitivity analysis show the group's capital position is not materially impacted, even in the event of significant external market volatility. To summarise, the group trading performance has been positive in the first half of 2021, despite continued lockdown. We continue to see strong customer demand for our protection products. Pension volumes have recovered compared with the second half of last year, but remain below pre-pandemic levels. Our robust capital position provides our customers with security and also allows us the flexibility to pursue growth opportunities and to continue to invest in the long-term success of business. Assets under management rose to a record level, driven mainly by positive market movements. We are also taking immediate steps to reduce the carbon intensity of our carbon management with profits funds. Whilst this year we've made good progress against our strategic programmes, including our investments in simplifying legacy systems, fund consolidation and the launch of the Royal London Annuity proposition. In the second half we will maintain our focus on these programmes, including completing the transfer of three more closed funds into the main fund and applying the matching adjustment across our annuity portfolio, all of which, as I said, are subject to external approvals. In summary, the group's performance has been positive in the first half of the year, and we are maintaining our focus on delivery. Thank you, and I'd be delighted to take any questions you have. I'll now hand over to the BC Core Coordinator to begin the Q&A session.
Thank you, Daniel. For everyone, if you do wish to speak and ask a question, it's a case of simply just key star 1 on your phone. If you decide to draw your question, you can key star 2. All questions will be answered in the order received, and you'll be advised when to ask a question. All other lines remain on this only. So star 1. Thanks, everyone. And we do have the first question. This is from Marcus Rivaldi from Jefferies. Thank you, Marcus.
Good morning. Thank you for presentation this morning. I have a couple of questions, please. First on earnings, and then secondly on capital, if I may. So first of all, obviously you had a substantial improved contribution from existing business in the first half. You mentioned there's a number of moving parts. I wonder if you could break those down. You called out a couple, you know, the positive persistency, but you also talked about a negative in terms of higher unemployment provisioning. So if you could talk about that, please. Number 2 on earnings, could you just give some indication about trajectory for strategic development costs and the sort of trajectory also for corporate central costs, just to get a sense of, you know, how are they going to develop in future years, how far you are along the path of that sort of upgrade to the business. Maybe I'll pause there and I'll ask a couple of questions after those.
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Marcus. So if I take those, so just on earnings and give you a little bit more on what's in the experience variances. So I suppose it's worth just starting with what's in the 2020 comparative. So as I referenced, we set up a provision for additional mortality experience in 2020, which was £10 million. And we started utilising that provision over the course of the second half of 2020 and into 2021. There's about £3 million of that provision remaining, but it's fully worked to offset the additional claims experience that we've seen. So that impact of £10 million was in the prior year. Mm-hmm. At the end of 2020, we also created a £30 million provision for claims persistency off the back of the ending of the government's furlough scheme. That provision is still at £30 million on our balance sheet and will be reviewed as we go through the rest of the year. That was set up at year-end 20. So that sort of gives you the 2020 experience. The positives we've seen in 2021 are primarily in relation to workplace pensions persistency, where we have seen less outflows from our workplace schemes than we would have expected. And there's probably a degree of the pandemic in relation to that in terms of people moving employer. And we've seen less transfers out. So if you look at the business side, we have definitely seen more new entrants into existing schemes as well. So the primary upside in the first half in respect of experience is workplace. I'd probably count as a degree of caution as to how one assumes that pans out in the second half of the year. There's a fair amount of uncertainty that drives through employee behaviour and employer behaviour as we go through the pandemic in the first half of the year and then transition post-lockdown in the second half. In terms of your second point on strategic and corporate costs, so you'll see that our strategic development costs are down a bit in the first half of this year. You'll also see that we have, in the segmental split, that we have started spending on some development programs in our asset management business. So if I separate the two, we expect to continue to be spending in our UK pensions business, although not quite at the levels that we've been spending in the past. We're expecting some of the core releases of some of the new digital processes and systems in the second half of this year. But once we've done that core release, we are then looking to migrate our existing books of business onto the new systems, and that will probably take at least 18 months following the launches from that. So I would expect to see continued strategic spend in the UK. What you won't see though, the repeat of, is there's cost in there for launching the university proposition. Those will complete this year. I referenced asset management. We are looking, we've seen significant growth in our asset management business. I think we've reached a point where we need to invest further in the systems in RLAM. I could probably talk about more about that at the year end, but I would expect that we will be looking to invest further in RLAM in particular. In terms of corporate costs, you can see the increase in corporate costs in the first half of the year. The majority of that increase in the first half has been in relation to some restructurings in our UK business. I referenced the change in the segmental presentation and the management of our UK business, but within that we have taken some actions as part of that restructuring to reduce elements of the size of our cost base, and that's in large part what's reflected in that increase in the cost. I suppose there's a degree of caution in that, though. There are a number of costs in that corporate base which are a bit more variable, some of which relate to elements of our pension scheme, and there are some of the long-term incentive schemes in there, so there's a little bit of variability in them, but that's primarily the driver of the increase in the first half, and I don't expect that to continue in the second.
That's great. Thank you for that. So I had a couple of questions on capital for me, so just linking to that. So you've called out a few of the management actions in the first half related mainly to equity hedging, and you've also indicated a couple of things maybe for the second half. You mentioned matching adjustment. I'm assuming that would be relatively small given the annuity proposition is still quite young, but please tell me if I'm wrong there. And then secondly, I think you also mentioned about further fund migration into the main fund. Would that be the two main sources of potential management action in the second half year that you're thinking about?
The simple answer to that is yes, and I'll give you an indication of numbers in a moment. But that's all, I suppose, assuming steady state activities. We have no immediate plans to increase the hedging in our main fund, but we obviously keep that under regular review, and if we see some significant market movements that might cause us to reevaluate that, we will of course do so. And I suppose within that there are elements of our corporate bond portfolios that we are currently looking at, which may lead to a bit of movement, but that's part of our ongoing activities in the business. In terms of the annuity proposition, you're right in that we are starting at, in terms of new business, in 2021, but we do have some annuities in payment within the main fund, which will obviously get benefit from the matching adjustment when approved as well. So we will see some impact in 2021. It won't just be on new business. Low single digits is how I would describe that. Low single digits. And similar with the transition of the three main funds, the three funds into the main fund. But those two are sticking there. The impact on the closed funds transitioning in very much depends what's in those closed funds. We've got more funds that we're looking at for next year, some of which have pension schemes within them, so actually there's some odd mechanics in the matter of how that comes through into the ratio, but none of that is actually materially impacting the underlying position of those funds.
Very good, thank you. Just one final question on me. Just really what the broader trajectory of surplus. So, if I look at the half year and also look at the full year from last year, broadly speaking, the profit from existing business is not quite keeping up with, the capital demand for new business and sort of corporate and financing costs. And then when you add on some of the other more exceptional items, you would say, but then they are longer term and they're repeating the strategic development costs. The business is not, should say, doesn't seem to be in here totally capital self-financing at the moment. And you know, then you roll forward in this year, you think, well, you know, there'll probably be demand for a profit share. Again, nothing declared, I guess, at this point in time, so not there. So could you just give me a sense about how you're thinking about the trajectory of regulatory capital for the group, and perhaps how some of the initiatives are maybe going to improve or what they're going to do to the outlook going forward?
Yeah, sure. So I put council's degree of caution in looking at this in the context of a half year, particularly given we've still got a degree of uncertainty from COVID within that. But the intent of the actions we've been taking across the business, I suppose, do a number of things. So in part, the diversification of the into annuities provides us with some capital benefits, both in the existing book and in terms of new business as well. And we have a manageable and decent-sized stream of business coming out of the CIS fund in particular from investing pension propositions, which helps from a broader new business perspective and capital generation from that. You're right that we will have some capital downward movements in the second half of the year. Yeah, our financing costs are all second half of the year and they will come in as paid at that point in time, and I, without wishing to make any commitments, because clearly it's pending board views and say this will be for dividend, but we have a stated profit sharing pension that, assuming affordability, we would be looking to allocate some of our profits to members. So from a generation perspective, absolutely we are taking the actions we are now to ensure that our ongoing capital generation without significant one-offs supports all of the needs of our business, in particular being able to fund profit share and financing costs. Some of the actions I referenced around looking at restructuring some of our cost base have been part of that.
So I appreciate, okay, so I'm, also my comments are not, just to be clear, not totally focused on the first half. Again, if you look at the waterfall from the full year last year, you get a comparable pattern, but as you say, what you're indicating is the plan is, because all these investments are ultimately designed to make the business comfortably self-financing.
Yeah, and I suppose we've definitely seen that comparison to 2020. I mean, 2020 had some relatively significant impacts in it from COVID and other points within there. So I think if you look at the underlying growth in both our asset management business and the return of the existing book and the back book within that, yeah, I would be expecting those to be, well, asset management particularly, to continue to grow, but also the amount of the insurance business to return to some of where we were pre-pandemic.
Thank you. I've got lots of questions. I've got a topical. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We do have another one coming through. This is Thiago Parenti from SIL. Thank you, Thiago.
Hi. Good morning. Thanks for the call. A couple of questions on anything. I guess follow on from Martin's last question. I mean, the new business. The margin is obviously been sort of under pressure. It's picked up a bit in pensions in the first half of the year, the full year 2020. What's the outlook there? Obviously the margin on pensions is obviously the dominant variable. How do you see it developing from here? And I guess the second question more on asset management. You kind of flagged the success, continued success of your sustainable funds, for instance, but external flows are, kind of zero in the first half. Again, what's the outlook there? What are the weaknesses as well as the strength in sustainable are sort of causing these trends?
Yeah, sure. So, if I start with individual pensions and margin, but you're right to call out the fact that the margin on individual pension business is higher. There's no doubt from our perspective that if you look at the nature of our business and the intermediated approach that we have and the part of the market that we operate in, which is primarily mass affluent, the inability for us to engage face-to-face with intermediaries has been a challenge for us ever since lockdown started. And therefore, I suppose I'm slightly wary of making sort of any comments on what the future looks like given the uncertainties and impact of COVID that we've seen over the course of the last 12 to 18 months. I think we're seeing increased intermediary engagement with us sort of even post-lockdown. So I'd probably rather hold comments until we get to year-end, but we have definitely continued to be impacted by the pandemic. I suppose that what I would also just put a note of caution there on as well is if you go back to the history, we have experienced a lot of transfer business following patients' freedoms, which I think is more of a market blip rather than an ongoing thing, and that would take you back in 2018, 2019. So do I expect our volumes to be going back towards the levels they were at in the short term? Not particularly. Our focus is on growth in new business, but it's not really transfers in quite the same way. But I think I'd be able to give you a somewhat more we'll balance once when we get to the year end, and we see how the impact of lockdown easing flows through. In terms of flows, so in the first part, if I start with a comment on the sort of the net position on flows. So we, as I referenced in the presentation, have seen quite a lot of pension and local authority pension arrangements consolidating. It's been an industry theme for a while. In the first half of this year, we've seen some outflows into some of our pensions into institutional pension clients out of Royal London that are coming back in as a larger mandate. So on the 7th of July, we saw about 2.1 billion come back in for a combined mandate. So there's a little bit of timing in some of those numbers. In terms of you referenced sustainable and net zero winners. What we have experienced in the first half is some outflows in respect of equities, which is primarily market sentiment. I don't think that's in relation to our funds, and we've seen some cash outflows as well. So there's nothing there that I would be describing as a concern, but it's primarily some equity flows that we would probably expect to be seeing more coming in on credit.
Thank you. Follow-up, if I may, on a different topic, so sustainability and on net zero pledge. I mean, at a sort of very high level, it sounds as you're kind of adopting a sort of pretty gradual balance approach, but if you could just sort of flag the two or three kind of key management actions or kind of strategic sort of pathways you need to embark on to in the next few years to achieve your goals, maybe in terms of, you know, where you are in terms of the ability to measure the portfolio, for instance, to start with, what you're doing there, and maybe, you know, what do you consider could be the required changes in investment allocation, for instance.
Yeah, sure. So, forgive me, we will probably be making some external comments next week on some of this, so I will give you a bit of a hint, but I'll have to probably say bear with me because we need to finish a few things first. You're right, it's intentionally positioned as a gradual shift. We have intentionally not gone out with some big bold statements, but we can't necessarily substantiate the actions that go behind them at the moment. And we obviously start with a strong track record in our sustainable funds in RLM and investing customers' money responsibly. In terms of actions, though, we are in the process of making some changes to our pension default funds at a governed range, and we're making the same changes to the with-profit funds at the same time. Those changes will be implemented imminently and will lead to a material immediate reduction in the carbon intensity of those funds. I'm not going to give you the numbers over that right now, that will be more for next week. So that's the core first step that we are taking, and we'll be communicating with our customers on that at the same time. Let me give you another example of things we're doing. So we are looking at our blend of funds, partly meeting the SFDR regs, and also expected UK regulatory changes later on in 2022. A lot of the core of this will be how our new funds launch and give the customers choice within this. To give you a very simple example, we have launched 5 new funds to support our new pension proposition in Ireland, which we've been working on. It's not launched yet. I think 2 of those funds are SFDR9 and the other 3 are 8. So that's very much the way we're looking at our new propositions as we go through it. The final area for reference is in respect of a reference just transition. Our approach to responsible investing generally follows a philosophy that we don't consider market weight to be a viable investment strategy for responsible investment. That's part of what we're working on as part of what we'll announce next week. But within that, our approach is fundamentally built around engagement at this stage rather than exclusion. We don't believe that just excluding certain assets from our portfolio without having engagement them first is viable. We're just moving the investment from us to somebody else. We've had initial successes on that, particularly this is on our website, respective SFC, and then announcing their just transition plans. We are actively engaging with 15 of our largest carbon emitters in the portfolio at the moment, alongside other large investors as well. So it's going to be a bit of a flavour.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So there's no further questions. Actually, waiting. A reminder, it is just star one. Oh, there's one coming back now. Thank you. This is Marcus Rivaldi, Jefferies. Thank you, Marcus.
Oh, hello. Sorry, just one quick follow-up. Interesting what you're doing on the ESG space. So is this the addition to some names that's going to be retail and ESG, or is any ambitions or thought given to bulk and ESG? Thank you.
To keep quick on, it is primarily focused on web values. Other than annuities and payment, is entirely focused on the offering annuities, so the guaranteed annuity option pension policies that we have in our existing. But whilst we will continue to look at this as we go forward, we have no immediate intentions to go into the bond market.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. There's no further questions waiting.
Excellent. Well, thank you everybody this morning. Thanks for the questions as well, Mark and Joe, and appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Hey, Daniel, everyone, thank you. That concludes your conference call for today. You may now disconnect. Thank you for joining, and all take care.